Good morning. Amen to that song service, amen to the reading of God's Word, and amen to the fellowship that we enjoy here together this morning. I want us to begin with a word of prayer as we, I want to pray over all of us as a church, and so let's begin with that word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, it is with immense humility that we bow before you, the God and Father of all creation, the Son, King Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, with whom we enjoy our fellowship. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in this place like a mighty flood, and may He fill our hearts, all of those that have been called by your name. May our hearts be washed with the water of the Word and with the purifying presence of the Holy Spirit. May He cleanse our thoughts this day and cleanse our hearts and our minds that we might receive your truth and that we might realize the unity that we enjoy in Christ as your body. Lord, we pray that you would purify our hearts and our minds and our thoughts, that our thoughts and minds and hearts may be turned ever toward you as individuals and as a body of believers that meets in this place. We know, Father, that your plans are perfect. Your purpose is true. And we pray that the desire of all believers everywhere would be to lift up your name that you might be honored among the nations. We pray, Father, for the fellowship of local churches everywhere, that everyone that claims your name might put you in the rightful place as head over the church. And we pray, Father, that you would be the head of the focus and intention of our hearts, too. Lord, we pray that you would revive our hearts as believers, especially those that have left their first love, that we might be involved in fully giving our hearts to you and to the truth of your gospel and not in a distorted version of the gospel. We pray, Father, that you would revive our hearts away from the fallenness of the extreme beliefs that are prevalent among those that call upon your name, that we would flee from legalism and from lukewarmness, and that you would draw our hearts back toward you in a right relationship with one another and with you. Revive your people, Father. We pray that you would turn our hearts and the hearts of people everywhere back to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in the middle of a series called King Jesus, and we're exploring the gospel story according to Matthew. This morning is part number 7, and we're going to land in Matthew chapter number 9 especially, but actually chapter 8, at the beginning of that chapter and into chapter 9. So if you want to be opening your Bibles there, that's where you'll find our text. I want to start today's sermon in a way that I should never start a sermon, and that is with great controversy and debate. There's a lot of debate out there today about who the greatest basketball player of all time is. Some people say it's King James, LeBron James. He's the best basketball player to ever live, and yet those of us that grew up in the 90s, we say, oh, I beg to differ. But Michael Jordan is forever to be recognized as the greatest basketball player of all time. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that the debate is over, because there was a survey done by Insider, a debate that polled lots of Americans, and it's not even close. I want you to see the statistics here. 66% of all Americans say Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. A close, not even close, second, 10% LeBron James. So there's no debate as to who the greatest basketball player of all time is. Now, I told you that's a horrible place to start a sermon, because all of you LeBron fans just checked out. You just absolutely checked out of the sermon. And so I don't want you to lose the point. You know, the danger of sermon illustrations is somebody will want to come up to me in the foyer after this sermon and won't hear anything else I said and they'll want to talk about basketball. So please don't miss the point of what I'm trying to get at here. And you say, what is the point? Well, let me tell you. I read just this week that last month, regardless of the debate, I love what I'm hearing about what Michael Jordan is doing. Last month in October, Michael Jordan got really emotional at a ribbon cutting in his hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina, where he donated $7 million of his earnings to establish two medical clinics to provide health care for the undeserved and the uninsured of that community. Jordan is using his celebrity status and his financial means to try to reach people in need. Now, that's a really heartwarming story. But more than being heartwarming, it's a game changer for people in that community that are needy in Charlotte. Now, as great a gift as that is, Michael Jordan's influence and his financial resources can only reach so far. Today, I want us to focus on somebody who is the hope not just of Charlotte, but is the hope of all people of all nations of the world. There is a king who is absolutely the undisputed king, who influences and reaches more people and has a greater influence than any celebrity has ever had or will ever have. More than any politician, more than any ruler of this world, and there is no debate about who the king truly is with the most authority and with the most influence, and his name is King Jesus. And so that's what I want us to focus in on this morning, is the true king and how far his authority really does reach. The authority of this king is demonstrated over every single realm of life. There are various events that are recorded in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9 that demonstrate the authority of King Jesus. And very quickly, I want to survey those with you and then go back and pick up with special focus the particular story that Jimmy read for us this morning. But if you look at chapter 8 and chapter 9, you see that Jesus, King Jesus, has authority over sickness in verses 1 through 17 of chapter 8. Jesus is king over incurable diseases. He is king over paralyzed people. He is king over those that are confined to the beds of illness. Jesus also has absolute authority over nature. In chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, Jesus calms the greatest of storms, and he ushers a command that will harness and bring under control the greatest of winds that might blow. He's also king with authority over the supernatural realm. In verses 28 through 34 of chapter 8, King Jesus demonstrates he has not only authority, commanding authority, over his own forces of light, but he can call down the forces of darkness as well and can cast out demons and bring them under his control. King Jesus has authority over sin as well. In chapter 9, verses 1 through 13, this king is a king who shows that he has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then in chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, it's not just over all the realms of this living earth that Jesus commands his authority, but Jesus also has the final say over all of life and even over the end of life, because he can raise the dead back to life. He also has authority over darkness. In verses 27 through 34 of chapter 9, King Jesus comes in contact with those that have been plagued with physical blindness and also those plagued with spiritual blindness. But King Jesus, you see, he can bring light to the darkest of places. This king is a king with absolute and ultimate authority over every realm of life. But just how far does this king's power reach? What are the boundaries of his rule? Have you ever felt like God was far away? Have you ever felt like God just doesn't seem to care what's going on in your life? Have you ever felt like heaven was silent, even though you had thrown so many prayers its way? Have you ever felt like that God's arm was too short to reach the place to which you have fallen? If you've ever felt this way in any way like this, I want to say to you this morning that Jesus is King, and we all need to be reminded of His authority and just how far it reaches. There is no area of life over which King Jesus does not rule. There is no distance too far that His power cannot reach. This truth was realized by a most unlikely person here in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. A Roman centurion. You know, it's usually those of us that have only reached a level of desperation that are finally ready to bow before the king. Well, this man is desperate. He has a servant at home who is extremely sick. He lies paralyzed and he is suffering terribly, the scripture says. And he comes to Jesus with hope of healing. Now, many people would think that this Roman centurion is at a distance too far for the king's authority. That this man is too far for Jesus to help him. Some people and some causes in life, they just seem too far gone. You might think so of this man. The scripture says he's a Gentile. He's not among God's people. He's an outsider to the blessings of Israel. And he's a Roman centurion, which means the Jews despised these people and their foreign occupying force in their homeland. The man confesses to Jesus that he is a sinful man. He's not even worthy for Jesus to come underneath the confines of his house. And yet this Roman centurion knows at least one thing from experience. He's a commander. He has soldiers underneath his authority. And he knows that as a commander, he can simply send word and what needs to get done, gets done. So this Roman official, the most unlikely of people, comes to Jesus and says, I'm convinced that you have the same kind of authority. That all you have to do, Jesus, is give the command. You don't even have to come to my house. Your authority reaches across distances and can travel through space and time. And this man can be healed just if you simply speak the word. There will be forces in unseen places that will move into action at your bidding. Verse number 10 says, Jesus was amazed. That's quite a feat to catch Jesus by surprise. Jesus is amazed at this man's faith. He says, I've not seen this kind of faith anywhere in Israel, and it's coming from a Roman centurion. And with this, Jesus reveals that there will be many others like this man, coming from far distances and unlikely places, who express faith in Jesus. That at the final feast, when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob finally sit down at the supper of heaven, will join them at that table. But there will be many of the Jewish religious insiders who lack faith in Jesus who will be cast out into the darkness. And with this statement of faith, the authority of Jesus is put on full display. And his word reaches across the distance, and the scripture says the man's servant was instantly healed. There is no distance too great for King Jesus' authority. The authority of the King, King Jesus, it can reach across oceans. The authority of Jesus can reach through generations. The power of Jesus can reach down and span even time itself. The King's forgiveness reaches as far as the east is from the west. King Jesus has authority to reach down into the deepest and darkest and most unlikely of places to bring healing and to bring back things that seem too far gone. People that seem broken beyond all repair can be healed by King Jesus. Churches that seem paralyzed by fear and disengaged by apathy and malaise, by the power of Jesus, can be reawakened. Those that are spiritually dead, without seemingly a pulse of faith left, can be revived again by the power of Almighty Jesus. No one and no thing is too far gone for the authority of this King. No one has gone to a place where the King's authority cannot reach. Because King Jesus is not just merely a king with authority, but he is a compassionate physician. Chapter 9, verses 9 through 13 says, he is a physician that goes not to the healthy, but he goes to the sick, and he brings healing to those that are sick. King Jesus can cast out the demons of despair. King Jesus can calm the most violent of storms. King Jesus can bring light to those that are shrouded in darkness, whose eyes have been closed for far too long. He can bring revival. He can bring awakening. King Jesus has the authority to do it. A recent song, a contemporary Christian worship song by Jordan Feliz, expresses it so well. There's no distance too far that I can't reach you. There's no place that's so dark that I can't find you. Anywhere that you are, if you need proof, take a look at these scars and know I love you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. You are never too far gone. This morning I invite you to open your heart and open your life to the authority of King Jesus. all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to this King. And if you're at a place of darkness, if you're at a place where you feel far away, all the King has to do is speak the word, and He can bring healing. So He invites you to open your heart. He stands at the door of your heart and mine, and He knocks, and He simply asks for us to open the door and allow the authority of His voice and His life to enter in. If we can help you in that way to give your life fully to King Jesus, we would love to do so. If you're ready for a Bible study to understand more about steps you need to personally take in your life to surrender to the King, or maybe you're ready to give your life fully to Him, we would love to talk to you more about how to take those steps. If we can help you, come to King Jesus as we stand and as we sing.